Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We're in the book of Acts, and we're really looking at the people God used to spread the gospel. And so we all know Apostle Paul, you know that guy? We all know Jesus, yeah. We all know Peter, we all know those guys, but we're looking at some people that you may not be as aware of, but I want you to see how God used them in incredible ways. And today we're going to be talking about Philip. Any Philips here? And a couple of no Philips. Okay, pray for Philip. We want him to come next week, so if someone could invite him, that would be great. And we're going to be in the book of Acts. We're one church, four locations, and we're doing this together as a church across the city. But the big point I really want you to get over these coming weeks is this. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace and the power to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. Can I get a good amen today? The Holy Spirit gives us the grace and the power. You got to remember the book of Acts is best read Luke and Acts together. It's written by Luke. And it's one narrative. It flows together. And what we see through Luke and Acts is we see that Jesus was empowered by the Spirit. And the same power that Jesus was empowered with is in the church. And it was always that we would receive what Jesus received so we can do what Jesus did. Amen. And that's what we want to be. We want to be the kind of church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The kind of church that is not relying on our intellect or our ability. The kind of church that is relying on the Holy Ghost. Like the New Testament church. Anything can happen. Anything could happen. You can be average as. Amen. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, anything could happen. So we're going to read in three places about Philip. I want you to turn there. You got your Bible. You got a leather-bound Bible. You got a paperback Bible. I got a TYB Bible. If you don't, we've got a big one on the screen. I'd love you to grab it out. We're going to Acts 6. I'm going to need you to keep up because we're going to run through a few passages of Scripture. And then we're going to learn from Philip today. Acts 6, 1 to 7. Are you there? You there? Yeah? One person? Anybody else? Okay. Good job, Simon. Love you. Acts 6, 1 to 7. NIV. Here it is. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Hellenistic Jews were Jews that were influenced by Greek philosophy. They practiced Greek traditions and also Jewish traditions. And so they were called Hellenistic Jews. And then there was the Hebraic Jews, which are Hebrew Jews. They're like the purebred Jews. And there was a bit of tension between the two groups. Verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. They were selecting the home team, and they were looking for people on the home team that were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. I love that. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Must be nice. And this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Pumbaa, Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. I made it. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Look at this, verse 7. So the word of God spread. They delegated and the word of God spread. They empowered others and the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a larger number of priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, track with me. You doing all right? You there? Stephen dies. He is stoned. Saul, who becomes Paul, oversees it. And there is persecution in Jerusalem in the church, and the church scatters. And as the church scatters, we read in Acts 8, 4 to 8, about Philip again. Verse 4, those who've been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. The story goes on. We read in Acts 21, turn there, Acts 21, 7 to 9. Paul now visiting Philip in Caesarea years later, where Philip has landed. And it says this, verse 7, we continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house, listen to this, of Philip the evangelist. He was looking after tables. He was then preaching the gospel in Samaria. And now he is known as Philip the evangelist. Look, it gets even better. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. The legacy, the thing that God had done in his life, handed on to his children. Lord, we want to be like Philip. God, teach us to have that willing spirit that Philip had in every heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Josh. I love you. Get out of here. Come back soon. Three things I want us to learn from Philip today. You ready? Three things. The first thing is that Philip's yes to God was yes to God. That's a good point right there. That's genius. His yes to God was yes to God. Philip was not saying yes, but yes, if, or yes, when. Philip had a yes to God. If the Lord wanted him serving tables, the answer was. If the Lord wanted him preaching the gospel, the answer was. If the Lord wanted him on some desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza to meet an Ethiopian man, the answer was yes. And I pray that I have this. I always want to have this spirit that I would be as happy to clean the toilets here as I am to get up and preach the word to you. I want to have that spirit, and I pray as a church, we all have this spirit, that we would be happy to talk to one person about Jesus as I would to thousands of people about Jesus. If God's asking, the answer is yes. And the key thing here is that we are not saying yes to man. We are saying yes to God. Big difference. I remember when Pastor Phil asked Jess and I to be the senior pastors of the church. That was a big day. We found out we were pregnant that night. And it was great. It was great. And I remember that day. But do you know, we said yes to him, but we didn't really say yes to him. Like we did, but we didn't. We said yes to God. And our yes to God is the same yes to God we need today that we needed then. On the day we said yes to God then, I need that yes to God today. Because we don't serve to do man a favor. We serve God. please don't serve on team. How you doing today? Please don't serve on team to do us a favor. Please don't do me any favors. Please don't do our kids team any favors. Come on, somebody. Please don't be on the home team to do us a favor. Please don't come early to prepare for worship because you're doing us a favor. Please don't lift your hands in worship because you're doing me a favor. Serve God. We serve God. We do next step like Jock and Sumi to serve God. We look after teenagers to serve God. We run connect groups to serve God. We come early and prepare for worship to serve God. I'm not preaching today to do you a favor. I'm serving God. I'm serving God. That's why we're here. That's why we worship. That's why we serve. That's why we give. Our yes is to God. It is not to man. It is not to people. And I want to ask you, when did conditions creep into your yes to God? When did convenient timing creep into your yes to God? When did our preference creep in to our yes to God? Can I tell you today, you don't have to have everything sorted. You don't have to have everything together. All you need is a yes to God. God is not looking for people that have a title. God is not looking for people that are extra intelligent. God is looking for people that have a yes in their spirit. Willing spirit. And I'm believing today that you would have a fresh yes. Can I get a good amen today, everybody? I am praying that as a church, you would have a fresh yes. Things come to bruise you. Things come to push you out. This is a war. We're building the church of Jesus Christ. But I'm praying that you would have a fresh yes in your spirit. Some of you, it's going to be a first yes. A first yes to Jesus in relationship. A first yes to joining team. A first yes to serving God. But can I tell you, credit or no credit? Yes. Yes. Visible or invisible? Yes. People thanking me for my service or not? Yes. You know, like, because sometimes we think that, you know, Philip, he just said yes. And he wasn't waiting for people to recognize his gifting. He was not waiting for everyone to suddenly one day realize how amazing he is. Come on, everybody. He wasn't moping around waiting. Hopefully someday someone will realize the gift of God on my life. He wasn't doing that. What did he do? He met the need at the moment that it arose. Here's what I want you to get. His yes to God was a yes to God. Second thing I want you to get, the need was growing. The gospel was spreading. And Philip said yes to serving where there was a current need. You get a good amen today, everybody. He served where there was need. Look again, Acts 6. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Things get delegated, the word of God spreads. Philip simply served where there was a practical need, and the willingness that started there, God used later. His willingness to serve the general will of God graduated into a specific assignment for his life. He said yes with the other seven, let me help with the tables. Years later, he became Philip the evangelist. But it always starts with the general and then becomes specific. And so Philip said yes to serving tables, but then guess what happened? Persecution happens. The church scatters. Philip willingly goes down to Samaria. He starts preaching the gospel. People get healed. People get set free. Simon the sorcerer, not like any Simons here today, but this guy was a sorcerer. Acts 8, 9 to 13, look at this. It says, now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. When they followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery, but when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed, home team Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Later on, we read in the same chapter that an angel appears to Philip and says, go on this desert road. And I think God knew that Philip was the willing one that he could send to a desert road when revival was breaking out. Philip's in the middle of it. Everything he touches, people are getting healed. We don't heal people by kicking them. That was just the Spirit of God. God was breaking out. People are getting baptized everywhere. And God's like, I need someone on a desert road by themselves because there's an Ethiopian man who's an important character in Ethiopia. He serves the queen, and I need someone to help interpret scripture so that he can get water baptized and take the gospel back to his people. And where did he look? God looked and went, that's the guy I'm going to send, Philip. What did Philip do? You know what he said? Yes. Yes, I'll go. He walks the desert road. No one can see him. No one can see him. He was visibly doing ministry, and then he went in complete into the desert. No one can see him. And he's just walking on the road, just trusting God, walking on the road. Ethiopian arrives in a chariot with a horse, moving quite quickly. The Bible says that Philip ran and caught up to the chariot. Home team Philip suddenly is sprinting at the pace of a chariot, doing the impossible. And he's running up next to the guy. Hey, bro. And the Ethiopian's reading Isaiah 53. And he runs up to him and says, hey, what you reading? Looks pretty good. And the Ethiopian says, I'm reading Isaiah 53. Philip says, do you understand it? And he says, how am I meant to understand it? I need someone to explain it. Why don't you get up in my chariot? Philip said, thank God. And he got up in the chariot. And then he's with the Ethiopian. And he interprets the scripture for the Ethiopian. They're in the chariot. They go past a body of water. The Ethiopian now has the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of the gospel. And he says to Philip, hey, what's stopping us getting baptized right now? And he said, nothing, brother, nothing. So they baptized him right there and then, got out of the chariot. Then they got back into the chariot, but Philip didn't. You know why? Because God needed someone willing to go to a place called Azotus. And I think I pronounced that right, Pam. Azotus. And you know, read the scripture. Read it in Acts 8. Philip disappears. He teleports. And shows up, home team Philip, in Azotus, willingly. He gets there. You know what he does? He just starts preaching the gospel. People get healed. People get saved. People get set free. People get water baptized. God was like, who could I find that's willing to go from Samaria to the desert to another place he's never been before to preach the gospel. I know who? Philip. Philip had a yes in his spirit. Philip was submitted to God. And it was submission to God, what God was calling him to do. It spreads to Philip's family. His children are prophesying. The legacy is amazing. Everybody, here's what I want you to catch. How you're doing? You with me today? Here's what I want you to catch. Worship team, you can join me. We are called to be the church of Jesus Christ. We don't go to church. We are the church. We are the church. And the church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is the centerpiece of what God is building in the earth. The church is the revival plan for the world. It is His church. There's no other plan. There's no other thing. We're it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're it. Come on, tell him, you're it. And we need to understand, everybody, we are not here to fill buildings. We are here to fulfill the Great Commission. Filling buildings is easy for God. It's easy for God. This building will be full. We're not there yet, but we will be. And then we're going to fill buildings all over the city. But that is not why we're doing this. That is not the goal. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. We are not trying to build a members database. We're not here just trying to grow our membership. Come on. That's not why we're here. We are here to mobilize every member of the body of Christ. We are here to see the church mobilized, activated, released into the call of God. Filling buildings is too small. We're here to change a city. We're here to turn a city upside down with the gospel. What would happen if every single church in Sydney was full of mobilized believers? I'm not talking about just our church. I'm telling you, what if the Baptists, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, every single denomination in Sydney, what would happen if every church was full of mobilized believers? The kingdom of heaven would break. It would be raucous. It would be like Philip. They're the days I pray for. I pray you get teleported. I pray that you're in your workplace talking to someone about Jesus and God needs you somewhere else and you just disappear and you're over there talking to someone else. Why not? He's done it before. He can do it again. Why could there not be an unbelievable, unprecedented move of the kingdom of heaven in this city? Why not? Why couldn't there be? Why couldn't there be stories that would blow your mind? Why couldn't there be? Why couldn't God use you in an unbelievable way? You're waiting too long to get your life sorted. God wants to use you now. God wants to use you now. The need is growing. This year, just this year, we have already had 1,400 guests, first-time guests, who've never been to our church. We've seen 400 people give their life to Christ already this year. Yeah, it's awesome. We've baptized 91 people. 41 people are doing our foundations class. We this year, just this year so far, 328 people have joined a Connect group. Just this year. We need 30 more Connect groups. We need more leaders. We need more groups. The need is there, everybody. We need people that are willing to help make disciples. You know, the process of making a disciple, a decision is one thing, but to go from decision to disciple takes a lot of people helping. My parents just ran foundations class this week, and I'm so excited about what God is doing in the two people that were at it this week. We need people that can walk with individuals and explain the gospel and help them unpack and do the journey of faith. We're going to need hundreds of people that can do a foundations class. We're going to need hundreds of connect group leaders. We need everybody mobilized. Can I get a good amen? We need you. Please don't think we don't need you. Please don't look at this big building and say they've got it. Oh, they've got it. They're sorted. We are not. We need your help. Because we're not just trying to fill a building. We're trying to change a city. And I'll come into the shadows. I know it's not good for online. We need you. We need everybody. No matter you've been following God for 1 minute or 1 billion minutes. It's a lot of minutes. We need you. The gospel needs you. God needs you. He's calling you. And he's calling Philip's. He's calling Lydia's. He's calling Timothy's. He's not just calling the one on the platform. He's calling the body to be mobilized. If you're thinking, you know what, how do I do that? What does that look like? Let me give you four things to be a mobilized member of this church. And I am asking everybody that calls this church their home to be a mobilized member of this church. Don't be an attender. Don't be a consumer. Be a mobilized member of this local church. When Jesus says, I will build my church, he's talking about the local ecclesia. It's this. It's us. The first thing is be on team. Serve others. Serve others. Our kids' ministry has grown by 36%. We need people that could be on the check-in, welcoming new families who've never been to church before. We need people everywhere helping. We need you on team. If you're not on team, please come and talk to us at the Next Step Lounge. We need you. The second thing is be in a connect group. That is where discipleship and real community happens in this church. There's not another place. There's not another system. There's not another gathering. It's in community. A guy in my connect group who now runs a connect group, go Nate. Nate and Ty, they run a connect group together. Nate texted me yesterday with a question that a guy had in his connect group about something that he's going through. So yesterday we were on the phone talking about reading scriptures. We got three scriptures that are going to help this brother that he's talking through this issue. That's what discipleship and community looks like. We get into the word. We get into the real stuff. It takes work, everybody. So be on team. Be in a connect group. Be a giver. Put God first in your finances. Invest into the only thing that God said he would build. Don't invest in all these other places and not in the local church. Don't be putting your resource in all these other good initiatives but not in the local church. Bring your tithe as an act of faith that God is first in my finances and that I am here to build the local church. And the fourth thing is be on mission. Ask God to use you as a witness. Acts 1 verse 8 says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. I would say one of the signs that we have drifted from the power of the Holy Spirit in our life is that we cease to be a witness. When I am no longer witnessing about the goodness and the grace and the power of Jesus, I need to come back to the Holy Spirit. I need to come back to his power and his grace. You know, Jess and I, we're renovating. And a house is going to be so good in 2030. It is going to be amazing. But at the moment, we're in the trenches. And it's all happening. And there's tradesmen coming in and tradesmen going out. And I don't know who comes to our house anymore. I just welcome them all in. Yeah. Come on in. Some people walk out with stuff. I'm like, God bless you. Yeah. But the other day, we took Oaks into preschool. And we've got him in preschool in Bilgola. It's his first time in preschool. And we walked into preschool, Billy Kids. We walked in and Michelle Smith was there. She works there. Her daughter works there. Billy McCudden built that place. And I could feel the Holy Ghost. It's unbelievable. But we're in a rush. I had so many things of picking up Oaks. I'm like, come on, man, we got to go. I got a builder down there waiting for me. It's all happening. And then this lady comes up to me. She goes, hi, I'm so-and-so. And it's been so nice having Oaks here today. She said, do you go to church? I was like, oh, no. Do you go to church? I said, yeah, I do. I said, well, I was talking to Oaks and he was telling me about these songs that he sings in church. Ah! She was like, it was so beautiful. And she said, you know, my son is really lost. And when I was talking to your boy, I thought, man, I need my son in church. He said, so do you go to church? I said, yeah, I go to church. What church? Oh, the one on the parkway, you know, that one? Big orange roof, yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. What do you do? I said, oh, I'm kind of like a pastor, yeah. And she said, I'd really love my son to come to your church. And I said, you know what? I would love your son to come to our church, and I'd love you to come with him. So let's get that organized. Let's get you down to church. Can I tell you, it happened in like a tiny little moment when I was in a big rush. It wasn't some Disney amazing moment that was like, wow, here it is. It's in the mundane, in between moments of your life that God wants to use you. What would happen if every believer, 1,500 believers in this church, every week, we're waiting and waking up every morning saying, God, here's my yes. I don't know when, where, or what, but I'm saying yes. If it's to talk to someone today, yes. If it's to serve someone today, yes. If it's to pray, yes. Can I get a good amen today, everybody?
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.